This is Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words that I have commanded to you today shall be on your heart. This is the word of the Lord. You guys can be seated. Well, happy New Year's Eve, LifePoint. I just wanted to start off by saying I am so thankful for this opportunity to be able to open the word with you this morning. I do not take it as a light thing, and you may see that by the shininess of my forehead right now. But it is not a light thing for me to be able to open the word with you this morning. I'm very thankful to be able to do that. And just wanted to say how blessed I and my family are to be a part of this body. We are so blessed. And so we are so thankful to be here. Today, we are talking about loving the Lord. And I don't know, you might remember, may not, the first time that you said, I love you to someone that maybe was not your family. For me, I think I was probably about five, and there was a girl named Gracie in kindergarten, and I loved her. I told her I loved her, and we dated. We went to the lunchroom together. We went to PE together. We did all the things. We did all the things together. But I remember being five and just kind of throwing that out and not really understanding a whole lot about what I was saying. And we do that. Our culture does that, not just with people, but with things too. I would say that I love the Titans, but it's like a love-hate relationship right now. But people say they love lots of things, whether it's sports teams or movies or coffees, everything, you name it, shows. We throw that word around, that phrase around. We throw I love you around a lot, and we kind of misuse it. And during Advent, the past few weeks, if you haven't been here, we're going through Advent, and we were beholding the glory of God's love toward us and sending his son. And today, we look forward to a new year, and we're going to focus on the love that we should have for the Lord. The love that we should have for the Lord. And the passage that we read, it's called the Shema, but the Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 6, that we read, Jesus actually refers to it as the greatest commandment. So if you're ever wondering, like, I wonder what the greatest commandment is, Jesus tells us. He says it's the greatest commandment. In fact, the Lord says, he said that the entire law is summed up in that commandment. And the greatest thing that we could do is love the Lord with every part of who we are and how we think and how we act and what we desire, what we do. Thinking about 2024, if you want to experience joy in the Lord that you've never felt before, if you want to experience a life full of purpose, this is an excellent thing to strive for. Loving the Lord with all that you are, with all that you think and do and desire and say. And so as we move into 2024, I think there's three truths that we need to keep in mind when we're thinking about loving God. Okay, if you're taking notes, go ahead and write these down. To love God is to honor him. To love God is to honor him. To love God is to desire him. And to love God is to obey him. So to love God is to recognize him as who he is. When we talk about honoring God, he is the one true God who stands above all of creation. He is the ruler, the sovereign king. He upholds the universe with the power of his word. And there's a reason why this command to love God is preceded by, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one." The Lord is God and he is one, but we are to worship him for who he is. Okay? I got to pause right there because that's so important, is the fact that we worship him for who he is. See, we live in a day and a time where lots of things is subjective. Truth is subjective. And if we're not careful, we and our kids can get into a place where we treat God like he's a Subway sandwich. We treat God like we're going to take this and it will take his love and his grace and his mercy, but we'll kind of let him pardon these sins or be okay with these sins. And we can shape God into our own God. But we're not to do that. We're to love God for who he is. But how do we know that? Well, we know that by his word. He's revealed himself through his word. So we have to know the word. Our faith, our love for God has to be the God of Scripture. We have to know him. The Lord is God, and he is one. And we are to worship him for who he is. And our worship is to him alone, nothing or no one else. God is one God who exists as the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, not three gods, not one God in three different modes. He's not like water and ice and gas and different modes. He's not even like body parts, right? He's not like God the Father, head, shoulders, and feet. All of those things kind of break down because he's unlike anything. He is literally unlike anything. He's holy. He's set apart. And so we ought to worship him for who he is. Well, he is one God in three persons. He is one God in three persons. Okay, the person of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And if we're going to love God and have honor for him as he is, one God in three persons, then when we gather together like this, or when you gather at your home for your quiet time and your devotions, we should give him honor as the Father and as the Son and as the Holy Spirit. We should give him honor and love him those ways. To dishonor or to neglect one of those persons is to neglect the whole Godhead. And so we should love and give affection to all three. Honoring God and glorifying God are synonymous. They're the same thing. And so how do we do that? Well, here's kind of a way to think about how we can do that moving into the new year. In February this past year, my family and I had a chance to go to the Ark Encounter, which is in Kentucky. And kids in the room, if your parents haven't taken you, you need to ask them to take you, okay? But it is in Kentucky, and you get there, and this whole Ark Encounter is kind of the experience of what the Ark would have been like. You get to see the boat. When you get there, though, you park in a parking lot, and you can see it from like way off. It's like kind of on a hillside, and I mean, you get there, and it's like, you know, that big. If you put your fingers up against it, you know, out in the distance, and you get on buses and you drive up to it. You get a little closer, and you kind of like, okay, this thing's kind of big, but it's not until you get right up close to it, right up against it, where the vastness, the largeness of it kind of hits you, and you kind of are able to take it in. And it's the same way with God. You know, when I saw the boat off in the distance, the boat was the same size. The boat didn't change. What changed was how close I was to the boat. And as I got closer and closer, the grandness and the majesty of the ark became more apparent to me, was what was happening. So the only thing that changed, the boat didn't change. My proximity to it, my distance to it changed. My location to it changed. And the same is true with God. We honor and glorify God by seeing him as bigger, by beholding him, by seeing his glory. And it's more weighty. And you can only do that. You can only do that when you're closer to him. When you're far from God, maybe you've experienced this. When you're far from God, he doesn't seem that big. He doesn't seem that glorious. And he doesn't seem as great as he truly is. But when you draw close to God, when you draw close to him, and when you do that, he will draw close to you. His glory, his weight of his glory will become so vast. And you can see it. You can see it. So how can we move closer to him? Well, one way to do that is by committing to and getting involved in a local church, a body. You know, the church is the body of Christ, right? So to be connected to the church is, in a sense, to be connected to Christ himself. And so if you're not plugged in at a local church, if you're not plugged in, get plugged in. Find community. Doing things like this, coming here, worshiping, praising the Lord in song, hearing the preaching of his word, finding community with one another, bearing each other's burdens. All of those ways are different ways that we can be connected. There's also different ways to draw us closer to God. All of those ways allow him, allow us to see him more clearly and more fully, and to give him more glory and honor that he deserves. Second way to love God is to desire him. We love God by desiring him more than anything else. That's a heavy statement. We love God by desiring him more than anything else. Think about when you lay your head on the pillow at night. What are the things that are popping into your head? What are the things that you think about, that you desire when you have time to think? Or maybe you don't have time to think because there's always things popping in your head. But what are those things? What do you desire? What we desire most is what we love most. What we desire most is what we love most. Psalm 27:4 says, one thing, the psalmist says here, one thing I have asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to acquire in his temple. Many times we can approach the Lord, we come to God out of duty and not desire. And it could be subtle too. You can turn around, and even something like a Sunday morning coming to church could be a box check. You're just coming here out of, oh, this is what we do. But you're just checking a box. You're here. You could be here for out of duty. And you have to ask yourself though, is that love? Is that love? If it's just all duty and no desire, is that love? I've heard this said. Think of it this way. Husbands in the room, it's your anniversary, all right? And you've picked out the perfect gift for your wife, all right? And you get to the door, you ring the doorbell, and she answers the door, and you say, honey, happy anniversary. And she's like, oh no, you shouldn't have. And you said, no, I had to. I'm your husband. This is what I have to do. That conversation's probably not going to go very well. As opposed to, you get there and you give her the gift, and She says, oh, honey, you shouldn't have. And you said, oh, no, I would rather not do anything else. I would rather nothing else than to give you this gift. That's desire. That's desire, not duty. Desire is to love, and love is to desire. And it's easy to express your love for God by desiring him if you desire him. And that's a question for us. Is that something that's easy for you to do? Is it easy for you to express your love for God by desiring him more than anything else? Honest question. Don't answer it. But if you do struggle with this, if this is something that you find yourself desiring other things over Christ, then I would encourage you this in the coming year to spend much time in prayer. Seek the Lord. Get on your knees and ask him to change your desires. Ask him to reorient your desires. Ask him to take the things that are in the place of God, or the things, those things that are taking up place in your mind and your thoughts, and to reorient them to where God would be in front of those things. That you would crave and desire and love God more than those things. And that is something that can be done through prayer. Asking God over and over again to help you love and desire him more than anything else. Commit to that in 2024. Commit to that in 2024. If we're going to love God, we love him by obeying him. We love him by obeying him. Loving Jesus is synonymous with that. In fact, he said it in John 14:15. He said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So in other words, okay, if you love me, you will obey me. That's what Christ's saying there. And we can't grow in our love for Jesus if we aren't growing in our obedience to him. I'm going to say that again. We can't grow in our love for Jesus if we're not growing in our obedience to him. I just recently got like new light bulbs in the house, and they're fancy. I can dim them and brighten them with like the push of a button on my phone. And this is a lot like sin. I'm talking about dimming the lights, but that's a lot like sin is hitting the dimmer button in my life. And the more I give in to sinful desires, the dimmer my affections for Jesus grows. But when I'm serious about being obedient to Christ, and I'm serious about putting to death the sin, putting to death my flesh, well, that's the opposite. That's like hitting the brighten button in my life. And I would say any Christian who feels like their love for Jesus has grown cold, you got to take a hard look at your devotion to obeying him. And that doesn't mean that our obedience to Jesus makes him love us more. I don't want you to hear that, okay? Our obedience to Christ does not make us love him more. It cannot. So God showed his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were rebel sinners, while we were dead in our sins and trespasses, Christ died for us. There was no obedience happening there when God was showing his great love for us on the cross. Praise God. So our obedience doesn't change anything about the way he feels about us. God's love is just like him. It is unchanging. It is never changing. He will never change. But our sin does affect some things. It does affect us. Our sin doesn't dim God's love. It dims ours for God. It doesn't hold God back. It holds us back. So maybe there are areas in your life where you need to consider turning to the Lord and repenting. There's a reason God invites us to confess our sins and to be restored and forgiven. God, there's no one that wants you to love God more than God. Did y'all know that? He's designed our hearts to be that way. He's designed your heart to cherish him more than anything else. But he doesn't resent you when you sin. He desires to free you from sin and to help you obey by his Spirit. He doesn't want us to be stuck and enslaved in sin. He wants to free us from it and help us obey like a good, loving father. Kids in the room, your parents love us. They set boundaries for us, for our protection, so that we can live in freedom and grow healthily. And the same is true with God as a loving father. He does not want us to go on sinning. He wants us to turn to him. Turn to him. But we won't obey God by just sitting and doing nothing. Godly obedience is going to require something from you. If you're going to seek after that, it's going to require something from you. We got to be serious about listening to what God says and setting up accountability and actually obeying the things that he commands. It's kind of where the rubber meets the road. You got to look what Jesus said. If you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. You're going to obey him. So a great way to grow in obedience, if that's something that you're wanting to seek after, to run after, obedience, to love God through obedience, I would commend you to read your Bible this year. Read your Bible this year. Read it all the way. If you go on lifepointchurch.org/Bible, there's so many reading plans you can choose from. But pick one, get in the Word, drink it up, eat it, take it in, read it to your kids, read it with your family, read it with your spouses, read it, listen to it while you're going to work. Kids, read it at lunchtime, at the lunch table, read it around your friends, read it, take it up, and talk about it. Families, talk about it around your table. But don't neglect the Word of God. God's Word is powerful, and it is a weapon to slay our sin and to resist temptation. And His Word is where we meet God. That's where we meet God. That's how we know who He is, what He's done for us, who we are, what we need, how we are to live. All of that's in his Word. That's where we can drink deeply from his goodness and his mercy. So to devote yourselves to his Word this year. And may we be a people who love the Lord with all that we are. May we honor him and desire and obey him so that we may abound and love for him. And maybe you're in here, you're a believer, and maybe you've found yourself far from the Lord. Maybe his glory is not as great as you once have seen it to be. Maybe you're in here and you're finding that your desires are out of whack. Maybe you're desiring things over the Lord. Maybe you care more. You love something else more than the Lord. Or maybe you've been struggling in obedience to God and his Word. Now, I would encourage you, call out to the Lord. Cry out to him and ask him to draw near to you as you draw near to him. He will do it. He will do it. Maybe you're in here and you're not a believer. You're not a Christian. You don't know the Lord. My encouragement to you is turn to Christ. Everyone in here, our greatest need is a Savior from our sin. And one day we will stand before God. It's once appointed for a man to die and then to judgment. We're going to stand before God one day. And every one of us need a Savior because we're all sinners. And just like we celebrated at Christmas, God sent his Son to take on flesh, to live a perfect, sinless, spotless life, to give up his life on a cross for sinners like us, and to be raised from the dead 3 days later so that we could turn to him. We could put our faith and our hope and our trust in Christ and have eternal life, be forgiven, his righteousness on us and our sins before God no more. And that's the hope that we have. So if you don't know him, that's my call to you. Respond to that. The band is, I'm going to pray and the band's going to come up and I'll be right down here. If you want to pray, if you want to talk about any of that, I would love to pray and talk with you. And I'll also be outside the doors to the left. Kyle will be out there too. We'd love to meet you, say hi to you. Let's pray. Father God, I'm thankful for your word. God, and I just pray, Lord, in these moments that you would do in the hearts of everyone in this room, Lord, that what only you could do. Lord, I pray that you would soften, Lord, that you would convict, Lord, that you would draw men, women, and children to yourself. God, you're so good to us. You're so gracious to us. Lord, we want to be a people who love you, who honor you, who give you glory. God, we want to be a people who desire you above all other things. And Lord, we want to be a people who are obedient. So would you make us a people who are obedient, who are holy? God, we love you. We ask that you would be glorified. It's your name we pray. Amen.